Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus.
I celebrate his first coming. Some Christians say Christmas is pagan, while others celebrate and rejoice. Some are really just indifferent. We are all free to make our choice. As for me, I really like Christmas. It is a time to think of God's love. I can thank my great Heavenly Father for sending his Son from up above. In his great love, God sent Jesus. Jesus had a very lowly birth. On a manger bed, he lay his head when he first came to the earth. It might not have been in December, it could have been another date, but praise God, he came to die for us, so his first coming I'll celebrate.
Verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Take me to the manger, for I desire to go. Bring me to the manger, for I desire to know the Holy Child, so meek and mild, so spotless and undefiled, cradled therein. For dark is the night, and I long e'en for the star that did guide the wise men from afar to where he lay. For my soul shall weep and pray till I find my way to him.
Good morning. 4 months ago, I had the chance and the opportunity to visit the Bible lands, and that was Israel and Jordan, and on one of those days, we visited the town of Bethlehem. It was a chilly night in the little Judean town of Bethlehem, the kind of night when you want to escape the cold, damp air and find warmth and security inside a cozy inn. And people crowded tightly into the inn at the end of the street. They left their donkeys and camels in the back stable and closed the door against the night air. Inside, the inn buzzed with laughter and chatter. Distant relatives who had not seen each other in years renewed family ties over bowls of hot soup and goblets of wine. They broke bread together, swapping stories of their journeys. A teenage boy strummed his lyre in the corner, and several fathers clapped their hands in time to the music. In the rush to serve tables, the innkeeper, balancing a tray of bread and meats, answered a knock at the door. A man calling himself Joseph stood outside, pulling his homespun cloak tightly around his neck. It was late, it was cold, and he and his young wife needed a room. A glance told the innkeeper the woman was heavy with child. He could barely hear himself talk with so much noise behind him, but he managed to explain that there was no room, only an empty stall or two in the stable. Shrugging his shoulders, the innkeeper quickly apologized and slammed the door. Outside, Joseph stood for a moment, listening to the laughter inside. Back in the stillness of the night, Mary waited. The young couple made their way to the stable, and while music and laughter and feasting went on, just yards away behind the walls of the inn, the Son of God quietly entered history. Sometimes the best moments of the Christmas season do not happen during the crowded parties or the rush of holiday preparations. They don't occur in the music and the laughter, the camaraderie and the feasting. When I think of special Christmas memories, I think of those quiet moments when God unexpectedly surprised me with himself, with an overwhelming sense of his nearness and his love. In the midst of so much activity, so much going on, so many days on the calendar filled with appointments or parties, God seeks out the quiet heart and speaks to us in a still, small voice. Think of the stable in Bethlehem. Somehow it stands serene. What a contrast to the celebrating going on in that inn. Who would have supposed? Who would have suspected? If someone had only taken the time to peer out of a back window toward the stable, if someone had only dropped what he was doing to leave the partying to go and check on his donkey, if someone had only slipped away from their festivities for a moment to seek a quiet moment outside, just think of what they might have witnessed. Perhaps they would have seen the angels, maybe the shepherds, and yes, even the Son of God. Take time this Christmas season to step outside all of the clamour and excitement. Visit the stable and ask God to speak to you in the quiet and in the serenity and in the stillness, and he will.
Morning, everybody. I'm reading this morning from Luke 2, 8-15. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks that night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for the good of all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to men and women who have favor in his rest."
Thank you. Luke chapter 2, 14 to 16. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Stars shone in the clear night like diamonds scattered on black velvet. As the shepherds herd their sheep onto the grassy slope overlooking Bethlehem. A long night stretched ahead of them, and before dawn, much could happen. They would think about returning home to their wives and children, but a long night of stargazing and good conversation with friends is ahead. So picture yourself with the shepherds on the hillside. Imagine the breeze flowing on your face. Listen to the older shepherds cluster together, first sharing the local gossip, but then moving on to meatier topics, such as the coming of the promised one. See the outlines of two or maybe three of the younger shepherds, and they're guarding the outer fringes of the flock and rounding up the strays. So join one of the groups of the younger shepherds dotted along the hillside and listen while they talk about their dreams, about the prettiest young women in the village, and then the latest run-in with those hated Romans, but the promise of the king who will set them free. And then suddenly, a bright light fills the sky. The angel straight from the throne of God delivers the most important message ever sent from space to our planet Earth. Christ, the Messiah, is born. Hear the angels' chorus, hear them. They sing, glory to God in the highest, and on the earth, peace and goodwill to men. What must it have been like for God the Father, and indeed for the Holy Spirit, and the rest of the heaven's angels to watch that night's proceedings? What questions do you imagine the angels might have asked the Father? What about Satan and his demons as they watched in shock and horror? Do you think they were surprised that the Son of God actually went through with the plan as promised? And the rest of the inhabitants of the universe, what do you imagine they were thinking? And last, imagine the majority of the people of this world, then and even now, who did not even notice that wonderful event. And you know, the very ones for whom the event transpired cared the least. The angel's song.
Thank you. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when they had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring word to me that I can come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way.
Let Christmas's true meaning rise up in you today. May you see the real splendor of Jesus's birth on this day. May his beauty and grandeur cause your heart to sing. May the gift of his excellence become your eternal spring. May his majesty you behold with all dignity and honor. May the fullness of his truth glorify his heavenly Father. May the wonder of his grace reveal its magnificence in you. May the gratefulness you feel be in all you say and do. Let this Christmas's true meaning bring your Saviour near today. May you see the need for him today and every day.
Songs like "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year," "Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire," "Jingle Bells," "Walking in a Winter Wonderland," it all communicate that Christmas time is to be joyous and a trouble-free season. But let me ask you honestly, is that what you're experiencing this Christmas? Probably not. For some of you, personal problems are keeping you from experiencing the joy of the season. For others, you feel like one crisis after another has run you over. With such an avalanche of problems, it's hard to have a jolly Christmas. Some of you are so busy and working so hard that there is no time for sitting around a fire roasting chestnuts. Or maybe that there's not really anything wrong, but you just feel that you're not enjoying it. It's not providing the emotional lift that you had expected. Sometimes it feels almost depressing. The world does not look like the winter wonderland. It just looks like winter. Disillusionment at Christmas is not an unusual thing. We get so hyped up with the expectations of what Christmas is supposed to be that often the real thing doesn't measure up and we are disappointed. What can you do this Christmas to avoid disillusionment? How can you improve your level of joy? The answer is found in Matthew 2. The Magi, wise men from the east, they saw a star that indicated that there would be a new king born in Israel. Wanting to honor him with gifts, they set out on a journey to follow the star to find this newborn king. From the attitudes of these wise men and the events that surrounded their journey, we see how we can raise our level of joy this Christmas. Your level of joy is directly related to what it is you seek. What is it I want to get out of Christmas? What is it that would make your Christmas wonderful and satisfying? Snow? All the family together and happy? A feeling that you define as the holiday spirit? Finding the right present to give? Getting the present that you've been hoping for? The problem with all these is that they can leave us disappointed. Have you ever had that kind of experience when you were disappointed by Christmas because it didn't deliver what you thought it should? The problem is not Christmas, it's our expectation. We are looking for the wrong thing. The Magi show us how to increase our level of joy at Christmas by looking for the right thing. And what was it they were looking for? They came to Jerusalem and said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and we've come to worship him." They were looking for Jesus. Christmas for them was an opportunity to worship Jesus. That is what we need to be looking for and expecting this Christmas, an experience of worship, a fresh glimpse of him who was born King of the Jews. If our goal this Christmas is to worship Jesus, then I doubt very seriously we will be dissatisfied with our experience. Your level of joy is directly related to where you look. We learn from the Magi there are wrong places and right places to look. They looked where their own human reasoning said they should look. The star indicated a birth of a new king in Israel. The Magi went where kings are supposed to be born, to the palace of Herod the Great in the city of Jerusalem. But what a mistake that was. When Herod heard of the birth of this new king, he was furious and jealous and he wanted to destroy him. We too are tempted to look for joy at Christmas in the wrong place. We think that by getting or giving the right gift, we will be satisfied. We imagine that being with family will be joyful. All these can easily disappoint us. You may not be able to afford the right gift for a loved one. Family members may be missing from the holiday celebration. If you are looking to these things for joy, you may be left with a feeling of disillusionment. The Magi looked in the right place when they looked to God. The trip to Jerusalem was not a total loss. While they discovered that they should have looked in the Bible in the first place. The scribes in Jerusalem said that according to the prophet Micah, the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. With this new information, they looked again at the star and followed it to Bethlehem until it stood over the house where Jesus was living. Your level of joy this Christmas is directly related to what you give. The Magi came to Jesus' house bearing gifts. The gifts they gave were entirely appropriate. They gave gold, a gift for a king. By giving it, they acknowledged that Jesus was and is the king. They gave frankincense, a gift for a priest. This was incense used by the priests in the temple. By giving it, they acknowledge that Jesus was a priest, the one who brings us closer to God. They gave myrrh, a gift for the dead. This was a fragrant ointment used to anoint the body before burial. That's why I've still left the cross here. I know it's to celebrate the first Advent, but by giving the myrrh, they acknowledged that Jesus had come to die for the sins of the world. Remember that, especially at this time of the year. And he's coming back soon, so be prepared. We ought to give appropriate gifts at Christmas as well. Don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about material gifts. I'm talking about more important things. We ought to give the gift of our love and kindness to our family and friends. We ought to give the gift of our help to those who are hurting. We ought to give the gift of forgiveness to those that have hurt us. Giving these kinds of gifts will result in a joyous and meaningful Christmas. So, what are you going to give this Christmas? Why not consider giving yourselves? Give your time to your family. Give your compassion to the hurting. Give your forgiveness to the isolated. And give your heart to Jesus. I promise you, when you look for the right thing, you look in the right place, and you give the right gift, you will have joy at Christmas. Amen.
Thank you. Far away in Bethlehem, a baby boy was born. Born with neither riches nor with fame. Yet wise men came from all around to bring to him their gifts, and peace was felt by all who heard his name. Angels watched him as he slept and gently rocked his bed, their voices singing softly in his ear. His mother and his father both gave thanks to God above for the greatest gift of all, their son so dear. They knew his life upon this earth would not be filled with wealth. They also knew he would encounter strife. But most of all, they knew that he would be a loving child and teach the love of God throughout his life. At Christmas, as we celebrate this birth of Jesus Christ, let's keep in mind the truth of Christmas Day. For it's not the Christmas wrappings, nor the gifts that lie within, but our gift to others in every way. I think that poem there fitted well with Francis' talk just now that she gave. We'll now ask you to stand as we have our benediction. Dear loving Father, help us remember the birth of Jesus, that we may share in the song of the angels, the gladness of the shepherds, and the wisdom of the wise men. Close the door of hate and open the door of love all over the world. Let kindness come with every gift and good desires with every greeting. Deliver us from evil by the blessing which Christ brings, and teach us to be good, to be merry with clean hearts. May the Christmas morning make us happy to be your children, and the Christmas evening bring us to our beds with grateful thoughts, forgiving and forgiven. For Jesus' sake, amen.